Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. My teaching, titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right, is vital for mankind in general, and especially Christians, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning of this teaching know that based on Scripture, I have made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on his life unto death. I thank my God and Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine healing. Before we read our four foundational scriptures for this teaching, I want to once again remind each of our listeners that I purposely am reading these foundational scriptures each week so that the truth contained in these verses will penetrate not just your mind but your spirit, whereupon in the future when sickness and disease try to come against you, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance this living word of God. Then you can speak this blessed word over your challenge and drive Satan and his demonic assignments away from you. Before we complete this teaching, we will be discussing the importance of making daily faith confessions over yourselves and loved ones. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now, please turn to our first foundational scripture found in the book of Psalm. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me. Bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits." who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfy your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Now, let's please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "But in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God and degraded, humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus, and by his stripes, wounds, we are healed." Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "When evening came, they brought to him Jesus many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah." Verse 17, "So that he fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases." Let's turn to our last foundational scripture found in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "He, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his stripes, Jesus, you who believe have been healed." Again, "For by his," Jesus, "wounds, you who believe have been healed." Amen. All of these scriptures and many more like them that we have read throughout this teaching tell us that Jesus took every sickness, every pain, every disease on himself. As a result, we believers do not have to accept Satan's physical attacks on mankind. We are healed in Jesus. On January 6th, we began our examination of the seven redemptive names of Jesus Christ. I have stated that the gift of salvation includes many benefits, which can be seen clearly in the seven redemptive names of Jesus. For this reason, I am highlighting these names so you will know the richness of your position in Christ and live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Last week, we left off with the fourth redemptive name, which is Jehovah Raha. That's spelled R-A-A-H. It means "the Lord who is my shepherd." The definition of shepherd is a person who watches over, rears, and guides the sheep. Please turn to the book of John. We are going to reread from chapter 10. John 10, verses 10 through 16. Jesus is speaking. Verse 10 says, "The thief, also known as Satan, comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep. But the hired man, who merely serves for wages, who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, When he sees the wolf coming, deserts the flock and runs away. And the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. Verse 13. The man runs because he is a hired hand who serves only for wages and is not concerned about the safety of the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know without any doubt those who are my own, and my own know me and have a deep personal relationship with me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my very own life, sacrificing it for the benefit of the sheep. Last verse, verse 16. I have other sheep besides these that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they will listen to my voice and pay attention to my call, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. All right. What a wonderful passage this is, especially knowing that Jesus spoke these words to give us comfort and guidance when we are distracted by the issues of life. As Christians, we have the greater one in us, so we should not be fearful. We should not be anxious or stressed out, but we should count on the Word of God, not only because we have studied the Word of God, but because we are applying the Word of God and we're receiving the manifestations of His promises. That's the mature Christian operating according to God's word. So in verse 10, I want to highlight a couple of points that are being made. And the first that I want to identify is that Jesus is giving us a description of the way Satan operates. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to speak on it. Satan comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. Okay, so first and foremost, when Satan comes, his only intention is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says that he came so that we would enjoy life and have it in abundance. So we want to make sure that when we see something that is stealing, killing, and destroying, that we identify who is the author, and that, of course, is Satan. So we can rest assured in the Word of God, because Jesus said he came so we may have life and we can enjoy it and have it in abundance. Verse 11, I want to read that one verse over again because it identifies who Jesus is. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep. Now, I said this last week, but just as a reminder, if Jesus is the good shepherd, and we Christians have accepted the gift of salvation, then we are the sheep that are guided by Jesus and his word. So, Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep. So, there's no need for us to be destroyed or to suffer or to be in any kind of distress, because Jesus took it all upon himself on the cross and left it there. He is victorious over Satan, so nothing or no one can ever destroy us if we follow God's lead. So that's knowing God's word and then doing God's word. Let's drop down to verse 14. I'm going to read that whole verse one more time for emphasis, and also pay attention because these words should give us comfort as Christians. And then when we understand the word, we can apply the word. We'll be operating in the wisdom of God. It says, I am the good shepherd, And I know without any doubt those who are my own and my own know me and have a deep personal relationship with me. Family, do you have a deep personal relationship with Jesus? Then he's your shepherd. He's your guide. He's your protector and provider. So we don't have nothing to be fearful about. We got the victory, no exception. Then in verse number 15, I want to read the last part of the verse. It says, I, Jesus, laid down my very own life, sacrificing it for the benefit of the sheep. And what I like to do, because this book was written for Christians, and I'm a Christian, and if you're a Christian, you can do this as well. You can make this verse personal. I would read it as follows. I lay down, Jesus lays down his very own life, sacrificing it for the benefit of Michelle McIntosh. You put your name in there. Make it personal, because God is a personal God, and he wants us to know him personally through Jesus Christ. Last verse, verse 16. I'm going to read the whole verse. It says, I, Jesus, have other sheep beside these that are not of this fold. So if you're familiar with Old Testament, you know that he is speaking about the people of Israel and the Gentiles. Thank God that he has a place in the fold for us. As Gentiles, we are his sheep as well when we receive the gift of salvation. It says, I, Jesus, must bring those also, and they will listen to my voice and pay attention to my call, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Family, are you listening to the voice of the Lord? Are you paying attention to his call? Then you are his flock, and we are under the one shepherd, Jesus the Christ. So this is good news for every Christian around the world. And we should rejoice and be glad that Jesus is the Lord our shepherd. Amen. All right, let's move on to the fifth redemptive name, which is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord who is my provider. Jireh is spelled J-I-R-E-H. A provider is a person who supplies and furnishes goods for those under his care. Please turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 through 14. Verse 11 says, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, here am I. The Lord said, do not reach out with a knife in your hand against the boy, and do nothing to harm him. For now I know that you fear God with reverence and profound respect, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise. Verse 13. Then Abraham looked up and glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering, a sin sacrifice, instead of his son. Last verse, verse 14. So Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen and provided. Amen. Let's go back to just a couple of verses. I want to explain this passage because I did not read the complete chapter. But for those of you who are familiar with our first part of this teaching, which was on blood covenant, I did explain about the covenant that was broken with Abram and, of course, our living God. Abram became Abraham after he accepted the covenant that was broken with him in Genesis 15. So we get to Genesis 22, and God has petitioned Abraham to sacrifice his promised son, Isaac, for the blood covenant and for the promise, the promised Messiah that is going to come through his lineage. So in this little short passage, I'm only reading that part that deals with the name, the Lord, our provider. So in verse 22, it says, last part of that verse says, "Now I know that you fear God," this is talking about Abraham, "with reverence and profound respect, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise." So Abram, by operating according to God's will, satisfied God, petition of him. And then what happened was, instead of having to sacrifice his son, God provided that perfect lamb in the thicket so that Abram could do the sacrifice that was required of him. In verse 14, it says that Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." Remember, as we discussed in the first part of this teaching, that covenant that was broken with Abraham is still in effect for us new believers in our covenant rights. So the Lord is still providing for his children, and I'm talking about us new Testament believers. Let's go on to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Verse 31 says, "Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, 'What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear?' For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Verse 33. "But first and most importantly, seek, aim, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." Now, this scripture here, this promise that we're reading right now, is so very important during these times, because we have heard about the 400,000 individuals who have died as a result of this pandemic. We've heard about those who have lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic. We've heard about the food lines that are enormous because people don't have finances to purchase food to feed their families. So the people of America are in distress. They need to know that God is their provider, that you can depend on God in the good and bad times. So I want to go back to verse 31. I want to explain a couple of things from that verse, and then I want you to have a clear understanding why God is telling us to put him first. Put him first. Even before your families, put him first, because he's going to show you the solution so you can be a benefit to your family. Verse 31 says, "Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, 'What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear?'" In these trying times, that could be on your mind perpetually. But God is giving you the solution. So pay close attention. Verse 32, the last part of that verse, it says, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need them." He knows your need. Listen carefully, verse 33. "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and righteousness." Now, why should we put the kingdom of God and his righteousness before anything else? because within that righteousness, within his kingdom, the answer is already paid for in the blood of Jesus. When we speak the word over the situations of life, the challenge, the problem, the trial, the persecution has to change based on your covenant rights. That's why it's important for us to know what God has promised us, so that when a situation arises, we know exactly what to speak over the situation. Remember, everything in this earth realm is subject to change except the word of God. So when we speak the living word of God over the trial, the test, the temptation, the problem, the issue of life, the word of God takes effect, and the opportunity of success, prosperity, spirit, soul, and body takes place. Amen. Then the last part of the verse says, and all these things will be given to you also. So not only will you be satisfied spiritually, but you'll be satisfied soulishly in the emotions and also in the body. So that would include finances. That would include food for your family and yourself, shelter, and everything that you need to live a happy life on this earth realm. Oh, I'm sorry, family. My time is up. We're going to continue this study on Jesus, our provider, when we come back next week. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.